Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
All right, dog fans, welcome back to the Dog Pod. This is our third of our preseason shows, and this is the one that counts, really. We talked about the South. We talked about the North. Let's get into the 2019 Husky football season. Guys,
the
you ready?
The king in the North.
The king of the North, the reigning king of the North, coming back. So we're going to talk about the units, offense, defense, special teams, and we're going to get into the schedule a little bit, make some predictions. Let's start on that offense. Law Dog, talk to me, buddy. Talk to me about this Husky offense for 2019.
Well, I think the sphincters are a little tightened up for this one right now. I mean, frankly, you know, we got Eastern coming up here in a few days, and we have not seen Jacob Eason step on a football field and throw a ball in a couple of years. So I think most Husky fans think that this is all going to start at the quarterback position. We all think Eason's going to be the guy. Sounds like from the reports in camp, he was kind of starting to pull away at the end where the media was allowed to be. Now we're on media blackout here, so we're not getting any other reports. Yeah. I don't think Chris Peterson's going to say one way or the other, maybe until, you know, Saturday morning on August 31st. I don't expect that we're going to get any kind of a formal announcement or anything like that. We might. But I think we're all looking, all eyes are on skinny number 10, 6'5". Arm like a cannon, throwing the ball 60, 70 yards downfield. I mean, this is a guy who can really give the Huskies a dimension on the offense that they have not had in the last four seasons, if we're being honest. I mean, yeah. So I think we're all really anxious to see him behind a veteran offensive line. Now, this may not be 153 starts like the Oregon offensive line, but definitely over 100. You've got Trey Adams, who's an All-American candidate at left tackle. Jared Hilbers is going to move over to the right side to replace Caleb McGarry, who filled in admirably for Adams last year. Then in the middle, you got Nick Harris, you got Jackson Kirkland, Luke Wattenberg, all those guys experienced road graders. All, you know, other than Nick Harris, those guys 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". I mean, there's a lot of size on this offensive line. There's a lot to like, and they've got a guy to hand the ball to, Selvon Ahmed, who we've been talking about for a few years, and now he's finally going to get his chance to be the feature back. Now, question for you guys, is Chris Peterson finally going to turn him into a feature back and give him 30 touches a game? Because we just haven't seen that yet. And then they've had old number 9.
Right.
They haven't needed to give him the ball 30 times, but can he handle that kind of a low? What do you think, Mitch?
I think they're going to spread it to a certain degree. I think they've got an attitude with Savon where they want to make sure he gets all the way through this season. And if you even look at Gaskin, I mean, he was in the 20 carries, right? Most games, right? In the mid-20s.
Especially in 2016, they had a lot of LeVon Coleman.
Yep. So I think they want that, right? Honestly, like they want the Sean McGrew, Kamari Pleasant, maybe even flash with some Richard Newton, Cameron Davis, depending on what they see from those guys. Or is it Cameron Williams? Cameron Davis, I think, is the running back. Cameron Williams is safety,
Davis.
Right? So I think you'll see a little bit of balance there. But let's be clear. Success in this year from that running back group looks like Savon is getting the majority of carries. And I really want to see him put his nose down, fight for some yards between the tackles. At times, I felt like he was trying to use his speed a little too much and going a little too wide at times. I want to see him put his nose down and go drive forward when he needs to.
That was a skill that Miles really had, and we haven't seen it from Selvon yet. And, yeah, I agree with you. I also agree with you that I think this is going to be more of a committee. I've been predicting that for years and years, and then the last 2 years, of course, they've just been handing it to Miles as much as they could.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of mix and match. The one thing that I think is a drawback of that strategy with this group is I feel like they're all very similar, quick, smaller guys. We don't necessarily have a big bruiser. Even Pleasant might be a little taller, but he's not necessarily a thunder to Ahmed's lightning. So I wonder if maybe Cam Davis does get a little bit more of a shot, or Richard Newton gets more of a shot because of that. We'll see.
I
think this is a real unknown for them, though.
Yeah, it could be. I think the big separator, I've always said, with Gaskin was his patience. He's the most patient Husky running back that I've ever
Great
seen.
Vision, yeah.
And I don't know, I just don't know if Savon has that. It's a tough thing to know when to be patient and when to use that and wait for holes to develop rather than just try to use that electric speed. But I could see some of those getting touches. But I also could see this thing being like, you know, if you, you know, looking back, and I think of like, I guess it's the 2016 season, or you know, where 2015 season, where Gaskin didn't really have the greatest game against Boise State, and then just absolutely went nuts. Where we didn't know he was going to be, you know, a 4-year starter and create all these records. Mm-hmm. And I could see, you know, Corey Dillon had that too, where we knew a little bit about him preseason, but all of a sudden he goes for like 250 yards before classes started, at a game. And then all of a sudden, and that I could see Savon doing something that electric, where then we go, God, we just got to get this guy touches, man. We got to find a way to get the ball in his hand.
And the more opportunities you get, the better that vision's going to get, the better that line's going to, just everything's going to gel, the running game. You just need to break one or two of those field switching type of plays to really make a huge impact.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I think they're going to sort that out. I mean, I think I felt like I saw enough in like the Oregon game, for example, when Miles was out with that injury, and Savon and Sean McGrew, I thought, did admirably in that game. I mean, heck, Savon had 2 touchdowns, I believe. And I think they're also, I think Hamden hopefully is hitting his stride. I think he's kind of getting into a little bit of groove where he can get a little creative and do some swing passes and things to get them the ball in space.
Let's talk about that for a sec. So before we jump off the offense, let's talk a little bit more about the passing game. I think receiver was a big kind of question mark heading into last season. I don't know necessarily that we got all the answers that we wanted to get. Although I will say, to start out the year, Aaron Fuller, I think, really emerged as your best option on the outside early. He may have kind of faded a little bit as we went down the stretch. And then, you know, you had a guy like Andre Bocelli, who we don't talk about a ton on this show, but really came on strong at the end of the season. And so I think those are probably your 2 guys who you're going to lean on the heaviest. And then also you got Ty Jones,
right,
who was just solid and showed you some real flashes of excellence. And so I think your receiving core, I think, looks a lot more proven than it did this time a year ago. But we still haven't seen them take on really tough DBs like they saw against Stanford last year, like they're going to see against Utah this year, and Ohio State and the Rose Bowl. I mean, we didn't see any of those guys really dominate, and I think that's something that we're going to want to see. Will Jacob Eason be that missing ingredient to kind of get them
Loosen it up a little bit?
Yeah, loosen it up. That could be. So I think, you know, Jacob Eason, for the most part, is an unknown until we've seen him on the field. One thing that came out of the spring, and I know we're going to be talking about a lot as the season goes on, is his connection with Hunter Bryant. And, I mean, that's going to be option 1A, right? And we're going to see a lot of 2 tight ends with the scholarship, Cade Otten and Jacob Kaiser, too, where we could see multiple tight ends at times. So this offense, I think, is returning a lot. It's got a lot of optionality, but you lost Jake Browning, you lost Miles Gaskin, you lost your 2 war daddies back there. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of, you know, anticipation and nervous anticipation until we see them dominate. August 31st, they got an opportunity, though.
Yeah, I think the one last X factor, sorry, BT, me real quick here is, apparently Chico McClatcher has been looking really good. There's so many good stories there for him to bounce back and have a very productive senior season, which would be great. You touched on it. Hugh Millen did this really cool deal at KJR where he broke down the first half of the Ohio State game and I guess got really technical. Was like recorded like a tape session. Mm-hmm. And basically one of
it's on YouTube. It's so good.
It is. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great stuff about it. One of, I think, his big points was just like our receivers had no separation against some very good DBs from Ohio State. And like that's just got to get better.
And Jake Browning took a lot of the blame for a lot of that stuff, and there's a passing game as a whole. Now, the question is, if you have a guy who can throw 50 yards down the field, then all of a sudden when you're playing pinched-up man defense, you know, he can punish you for that in a way Jake Browning couldn't. So maybe that's the missing ingredient we need to take the top off the defense. But in terms of making those standard reads, you know, first, second, third reads, Jake Browning – was great at that. That's something we haven't seen from Jacob Eason right now. And I don't think we saw it his freshman year at Georgia either. So it remains to be seen.
I like the receiving core, and I think that we have taken a step up. It's not what it was 2 years ago and 3 years ago, but I think they have taken a step up this year. You know, and there's one other guy. I think they're not going to be able to keep him off the field.
Puka Nacua.
I mean, looking at this guy down at Picture Day. There are 2 people that stood out to me in the receiving core. I got to meet all the fans, and my son's favorite player is Ty Jones for whatever reason.
Okay,
and we got to meet Ty Jones, and you know it's funny. Right when they said they go, They go, just a reminder, there are no autographs allowed. And my son's sitting there with a Sharpie. And Ty was like, he goes, give me that pen. Signs his hat.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I just picture you. But, like, he,
that's,
I mean,
cool.
Outing him, BT.
Physical freaking specimen.
Awesome.
Physical specimen. And also say Puka Nacua. Like, you just, like, what, true freshman? I mean, I don't think they can keep this guy off the field. One other thing I'll say about from picture day, the quarterback battle. Awkward.
Yeah. Don't even need to say it.
Okay. Eason, 100 people deep for a line. Like, we got in line for a second, and I was like, dude, I kids, we can't wait, you know? Coach Pete, 100 deep. 100 deep for a line.
Uh-huh.
You could walk up to Jake Haner and have an hour conversation with him because there was no line. Just standing there
so
hanging out.
The fans
out.
Have made their mark.
The
they
fans
be
have,
the
made, have made their spoken. Mark. You know, Sermon, we walked up and hung out. Sermon's a specimen, too, man.
Oh,
I mean,
he's got a high ceiling. It's just he's a redshirt freshman behind in a big quarterback room right
yeah,
now.
Right.
It's tough for him to break through.
With Dylan Morris nipping at his heels, I guess, doing really
and
well.
And Sam Heward on the way. So we definitely are not going to – I mean, sorry that we had to see you go, Colson Yankoff, but, I mean, we've got plenty of talent in the room. It's just a question of who's ready to step up right now. And, you know, I think to your point about these receivers – we could see the talent is there. We've recruited this position
yep.
a bunch of monsters on the West Coast. I mean, if Puka Nacua and Ty Jones step up and take that next step and one of them becomes this year's Laviska Shenault, look out because we will
oh,
be
God.
Off the hook. But
yeah.
we haven't seen that yet, so it's hard to say it's going to happen until right. we know. Yeah.
The receiving corps is not a top three concern for me. Do you want to talk about offensive line a little bit?
Yeah, I think these guys, this is a really veteran group. You know, back to the 2016 team, which I think we all fondly remember, each one of those guys ended up making all Pac-12, at least first, second team, or honorable mention. This is the type of group where I could, you know, they're in a much more competitive environment with all the Oregon linemen and Stanford and all the blue chips. But, I mean, Nick Harris, Trey Adams, you know, Luke Wattenberg, Jackson Kirkland, all those guys – I could see on that end of year conference teams. And I just think the size is finally getting there. And now we're really recruiting in behind those guys too. Guys like Henry Roberts and Henry Bonavalu, those guys will be suitable replacements if, God forbid, you know, the worst thing happens there. So I think this is a really veteran group. Jacob Eason's going to need that. He's going to need the protection. Jake Browning struggled with that at times last season, but I expect that this unit this year to be even better. And as for the running game, it's a nice way to break in a new running back crew to have a veteran offensive line that doesn't need to stop and figure things out midseason.
Yeah, I'm not worried about their offensive line at all. I think they've got depth. They've got experience. They've got Bianvalo who can play multiple positions if need be. That's a really solid unit.
Dude, Harris, Kirkland, Wattenberg, Hilbers, Adams.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned. And if you listen to their interviews, they've got a chip on their shoulder about
yep.
all this Oregon talk.
Oh, yeah. They don't like that.
They don't like it at
and
all,
and
man. I love these guys.
Some monster teams. I mean,
oh,
that Auburn team they played
on.
Last year had a great defensive line.
Oh.
Ohio State. I mean, they've been through some battles. So
Harris started against Bama.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Yeah, these guys have been through it. I'm glad they got a chip on their shoulder. They don't have anything to prove to us, but they may feel like they have enough lot to prove to the conference.
And let's hope Trey is really back. And it sounds like
he's right, healthy.
And if he is, and he's really healthy, guess what? You guarantee you talk about Chip. Say, hey, I'm making a statement. I'm getting back on that All American list.
Yeah,
yeah.
Third longest line in picture day.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Mostly because I think a lot of the dads want to do wanted the same picture of hang your kids off of his biceps.
Oh,
everybody
he kept
that.
Doing that.
Yeah, I kept doing that. Or like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'll hang my kids off his
that's
biceps.
That's awesome.
Anything else on the offense, buddy?
Well, I think if we're going to count the kickers as part of the offense, are we going to get to that later?
I'll take them.
Okay,
yeah, I'll take those
all
kickers.
Right. So yeah, I think let's talk about that death row defense because we got a lot of rebuilding to talk
death row.
About. There's
yeah.
a lot of talent coming up through
totally.
The ranks, BT.
Let's hear it. What do you say, Mitch?
Okay. Well, I think we got to start with the D-line. A lot of questions right around that with talent loss with Jalen Johnson and Greg Gaines and others. Look, you've got guys like Levi Onwuzurike who's been around
Jeez.
The program, dude. He is ready to rock and roll. I was listening to a great Dogman podcast on the way over, and they were interviewing him, and he is just jacked, and he's ready to show that, you
take
know what,
the mantle.
We're going to keep this mm-hmm. going. Like, this wasn't a, you know, we feel committed to what we're doing here, right? And so the other thing that is, you know, interesting to me is, so far, from what I'm hearing, the redshirt freshman showing up, right?
Tule Gasanoa.
Those mm-hmm. are some yeah. big kids, guys.
Taki Taimani.
Taki. A lot of work, a lot of talk on Taki, which is great, right? And so I think, you know, behind some of these, Josiah Bronson, some of the older guys, you got some redshirt freshmen that are looking like they're ready to contribute. And I think that's going to be huge for that D-line. And we'll get to the pass rush in a minute. You know, that's certainly a focal point for this year. And then the last piece is, hey, don't sleep on some of these redshirt freshmen coming in. All right? What is it? Latu from Hawaii.
Laiatu Latu.
Dude, yeah, that's
these
lot, yeah.
guys are beasts, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, some of those red shirts get burned this year, right?
Well, now they've got the new rule letting you play
four games.
Totally.
So see what you're made of.
You
well,
can see it.
I think that's great. Let's make Eastern one of them. Rotate and see who's, you know, who's effective and, right. and keep it going.
So then let's talk about the edge, right? Let's talk about rush,
gosh,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot has been said around the lack of sacks last year. Pretty low, right?
Last couple of years.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I think what's looking interesting is that move of Benning Pote, right? Back up onto that rush spot on one end. And then, you know, some of those outside linebackers as well, like Ariel Nata, you know, a couple of those guys.
Joe Tryon.
Yeah, that's the other one that I was thinking of. All words out of camp is they're looking real solid. A lot of touch sacks on the quarterbacks in scrimmage. And then if you go to the next level, talking about linebacker, inside linebacker is honestly, that is the space that I'm kind of the most concerned about with this defensive unit, honestly. I mean, you lose guys like Tevis Bartlett and, of course, BBK.
Oh,
gosh, those guys were fixtures, right? And they worked so well together, too. That's the other thing. So you got a senior in Kyler Manu, right, who hasn't really played a lot, and then Brandon Wellington, who's got a ton of talent, but we just haven't seen a ton of them yet. So, you know, there's some questions there, and they might need some some youth to stand up, right? So Sermon is back there behind some of those guys, and we'll see what happens. So for me, the question is, in the middle, can we make sure that those guys are not missing assignments? Don't want to see is if anybody watched the Seahawks pregame where Cody Barton got pushed out of a play by the Denver Broncos and the guy rumbled like 60 yards.
Right?
Like, I
yeah.
don't, you know, that's going to be Ugh. Real interesting, that inside linebacker play to me. And then finally, you know, kind of wrapping up a little bit is our DBs. Guys, we're stacked. We are going to be just fine.
No concerns.
In DB. I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm pumped to see Kyler Gordon finally getting his, right? Keith Taylor over on the other side. Cameron Williams, the surprise of spring ball, true freshman, showing up right out of high school, graduating early in spring ball, earns, you know, running with the ones, and that's continued. Into fall ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Elijah Molden, Jordan Miller. They're set, guys. They're looking real, real good back there, and I think they're going to continue to be a strength of the team.
Yeah, I think the best news to come out of fall camp on the defensive side so far is just the fact that they have so consistently kept the secondary the same. I mean, they have clear leaders, right? Bryant moving to safety, Gordon and Taylor on the corner, and Molden at Bryant's old nickel spot, and then, like you mentioned, Cam Williams.
Right. Oh, thank you. I said Jordan Miller. It's Miles Bryant. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fact that Cam Williams has taken that spot over and has just been playing with the ones this whole time means he's the next one of those guys. And if he's the next one, you know, that's the biggest surprise, because he's the three-star in that group when all those other guys were elite kind of California recruits. So I think it's great news that they've been so consistent there. To get back to the front seven a little bit, I think we got to remember, Onwuzurike, still a junior. Like, he's not,
that's
fourth
true.
Year in the program.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, we still may not have seen the best of him yet. And mm-hmm. so is he going to be that next guy that takes the mantle from Vita Vea, Greg Gaines? Is it going to pass to him? Danny Shelton. I think we're looking at him as kind of that next man in the middle. He doesn't have quite the size and the stature that some of those guys had, but but he definitely has the talent. And I think then what you see is the emergence of the next generation around him on the line, whether that's Joe Tryon, whether that's Latuli Gassanoa, Taki Taimani. Now is the time, and we need to see those guys.
Yep.
Right now, I mean, a bunch of them did get their feet wet last year, and this year with the redshirt rules, it's the same thing, I think, on with this. We're just going to throw them out there, and we're going to see which ones are really effective. But that's where we really need somebody to step up. And you know, back to linebacker, you know, we've got the linebackers are really a question of how well you're building your program, because that's the one kind of blind spot we've had. Guys recruited that position who left, Ali Cajo, Camilo Eifler, really highly recruited. So how well have we been coaching and developing? Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about Wellington and Manu. Those guys are seniors. Yeah. We've barely seen them. So how how well are they prepared to take over that role? Because that's such an important position, an inside linebacker. So, you know, we do have some question marks. But I don't think this is a crazy rebuild. Most people look at this and say, oh, they got to replace 9 starters. There's 5 or 6 guys who have definitely gotten a lot of experience. So this isn't a brand new team out there.
That totally feels overblown to me. And if folks are zeroing in on that as a weakness of the team, I will be pleasantly happy to show them how that is not really the case. There is some experience in there.
Yeah, and look, if you have to take your pick your poison, you know, defense talent can overcome taking time to gel. Whereas if we were talking about 3 returning starters on offense, but gosh, I hope they get there. Are they going to have it together by the time they play Cal?
Totally.
The only thing I would say, I think the edge rush has to somehow get better, which is tough with 3 returners. So you like Benning Patawai, you know, Tryon, the other guys. Like, we have had a difficult time getting pressure on the quarterback from the edge rush over the last 2 years, maybe 3 years. And is that going to be better? From a height perspective on the cornerback side, I really like Kudara, but like, you're going to be relying on like a Keith Taylor when Colby Parkinson comes to town, when we go down there.
Yep.
And you've got this big 6'4 prototype guys. It's really Keith Taylor.
Yep.
You know, we saw how they picked us away at Stanford, which was so frustrating. 2 years ago now with that the game at Stanford. Now, the only other thing I think we've all talked about is like the inside linebacker where, you know, they can't take that big step back. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think if you've got benefit of the doubt, there's a few things that have to happen with benefit of the doubt, which is Washington defense, Washington secondary for sure. Benefit of the doubt, he's done it every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that same thing with like the Utah defense of like benefit of the doubt, they're going to be good. Don't worry about their
D-line.
And we've
recruited back.
And we've recruited well.
So well,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see, man.
Excuse me. The linebackers, that's one area where we just don't know that we have the talent. I think you look, you know, we don't know. D-line, Latuli Gassanoa, Taki Taimani on Muzurike. Those guys are all 4 stars out of state. Like, those guys have the talent. We need them to step up. Inside linebacker, you know, we've had some tough losses, and losing BBK is not to be underestimated. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know, this is a team that basically last year they went from giving up 24 points a game in 2014 all the way down to 16.1 points a game in 2017. They had a slight slip back last year, but, I mean, we've been giving up under 20 points a game for 4 seasons in a row. Can that continue with a rebuild on this level? Man, that's a lot to ask of all these new guys that we haven't seen. So I think it's fair to expect some pullback. I think where we're hoping is that the offense can fill that void and score more, and we're going to be in a little bit more of shootout situations than we were the last couple of years.
Maybe a little more balanced team.
Yeah, more balanced.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be interesting to see. When you brought up a couple of the guys, and one of the coolest pictures I saw on Picture Day was they did a big 808 picture with all the Hawaii recruits.
Oh, cool.
And, man, I mean, it was like, how are you going to fit all these calves? These dudes were so freaking big,
awesome.
Man.
We haven't even talked about Haimuli and Tui Tele. And, I mean, there's talent here. It just and at linebacker, you know, we may see one of those guys break through because
the Josh Calverts, the Latu, I think was his last name. He's showing up real well at camp too.
They may have a chance to break through. And another guy who I think it is worth mentioning, at least I mentioned him when I went on 12-pack radio. It was Ulofoshio. Edufuan
Ulofoshio.
Eddie,
who knocked out caused 2 fumbles in a game last year on special teams. I mean, the opportunity's there.
Totally.
He has an opportunity to get on the field at linebacker. He's definitely going to get on the field for special teams. So it's an opportunity for guys to really You know, if you're a true freshman, you were hoping to play, you got a chance.
Yep.
We weren't talking about BBK 2 years ago, 3 years ago, four years ago.
That's
so
right.
Who's it going to be this year?
That's right.
It pains me, guys, but should we talk special teams?
Oh, okay.
Here we go. I mean, we got to talk about it. Is that other phase of the game? I mean, really, to me, it's just the most surprising thing to me about this team, where you think, you know, one of the most amazing transcendental coaches that in college football who we have, but that we have struggled so much. You'd think special teams is always, oh, special teams is coaching, special teams is coaching. Why are we struggling, man? Ranked what, 121st?
I mean,
Chris Peterson owns special teams.
Yeah,
it's a focus for him now, right? So
I hope it hasn't been the focus for the last couple of years, because it's been a problem in virtually every phase.
Let's go through the phases, man. So here, punting. Last year, man, when Joel Whitford was out, Race Porter, the squib kind of knuckleball kick, totally struggled last year. Maybe it was health issues, but I do expect a big year out of Joel Whitford this year. Yeah. He's healthy. Mm-hmm. He's got to get that Aussie kick where he can go left and right, pin him deep, big, you know, 60-yard boom, important. Pin him in the corner. We got to have that. So field goals. Peyton Henry's back. He looks to be the starter. Outside of that well-publicized miss at Oregon, he was real solid under 40 yards. New kicker, like with, you know, Tim Horn, the big long leg. I mean, the guy's jacked, dude. Well, I see him walking around. It looks like a linebacker. Maybe he's brought in for the 40-plus yarders because he does have the long leg, but the consistency hasn't been there so far in camp.
Well, and I think the kickoffs, too.
What I really want him on kickoffs drilling those touchbacks, which have been a thorn in our side, for two reasons. One, because it helps. We don't get long runbacks. And two, I've always thought with the physics of kicking, where it's a different thing just head down, try to drill it 60 yards and you'll get that, you know, to get that touchback. And then all of a sudden you got to come in and get a finesse for a chip shot 35 yards. Like, I love having that rule separate, and we'll see what they do.
That's a huge deal. I keep going back to this, but I cannot get over that Auburn kickoff for us last year when the Auburn kickoff guy was kicking it through the field goal post on the other end. And we're getting
that
touchback.
That'd be cool.
Every single time. And they would get like a 30 or 40
yard return every single time.
Yeah, so if we can be doing that with Tim Horn, I would love that. Love to see that.
Coverage. Why are we 9th and 6th in the Pac-12, respectively, in punt return and kick return coverage? And you can't put players' names in that thing. Mm-hmm. We have the players. That's coaching, and that's an emphasis on special teams. That, to me, is the one where it's like, this isn't Joel Whitford having an injury. This is just like you. We're not putting an emphasis on that coverage. 9th and 6th?
Yeah, I mean, I'll cop to not really knowing whether or not we're putting our starters in all these situations. I know that was kind of a point of emphasis a few years ago where they were saying, okay, well, starters are going to play special teams, right? And it makes a big difference. So maybe Peterson will revisit that. Definitely a guy like Olofosio last year playing on special teams tells you they were not putting out their best players in those roles. Maybe that's something that needs to change, particularly on the coverage, particularly on punts. I totally agree. I also think, to your point about the kickers, Horn just unleashing kickoffs, it's also a psychological thing, right? If you've given up a couple of long returns, you know, other team's smelling blood in the water. Whereas, think about our reaction to Auburn, Stanford, some of the other teams we played with monster legs. You just know you're not going to get a return.
Sweet, here
we
go.
You're starting at the 25-yard line.
75
so,
yards.
Yeah, I think that there's a psychological lift that can come from that, too. It's really important that we can try to get that. Whatever it is, Peterson has to have put time and effort into addressing this, because we cannot go on another season. I mean, 10-3 and 10-4 the last two seasons, and a few of those games swung on special teams.
Yeah, they sure did.
I mean, that Oregon game for sure last season. And you just – you cannot let special – it's just too big of a deflator.
Well, particularly we're squib kicking with something where, like, oh, you could kick a 45-50, but then we're squib kicking to the 5. Like, and let's – should we talk about the returns?
Yeah.
I think, you know, look, Dante Pettis, man, he masked any issues that we had in special teams because he was setting these national records.
Maybe we were too spoiled, BT.
Here's a quick question for you guys, and here's another quiz. You guys know I love my pop quizzes. How many current players have returned a punt or a kick?
On this roster?
On this roster right now.
I'm going to guess 5.
Yeah, I'm going to say 4.
9.
Nine.
Aaron Fuller, Sean McGrew, Savon Ahmed, Miles Bryant, Richard Newton, Trey Lohr, Andre Bocelli, Kyler Gordon, Chipman Clatcher. Sorry, Newton was fall camp. He's been returning to fall camp.
Oh, okay.
All the other eight have returned at least one.
Okay.
They're using everybody.
Yeah,
they're trying to find
everybody. Everybody has been out there. Except for Richard Newton in spring ball, everyone has returned. They're trying everybody. Who's it going to be this year, man? Aaron Fuller played me on punt returns. He's so conservative, man. And I love Fuller as a receiver. He's calling fair. Like, he's so, so conservative. Maybe that's the right play.
Yeah.
But like,
he had
so
a big return in that Cal game last year that, frankly, we should have been able to win the game after that return. He got us down to, the Cal 20, and then I think we either didn't take a field goal, right, and went for it on fourth down there. Yeah, I think Fuller is probably your de facto starter. I'd like to see Ahmed on the kick return.
I've heard Chico's pushing.
Yeah, Ahmed is the explosive on the kick return, but what the concerns me about is, man, it's scary to put him in that harm's way if that's going
to
be our bell cow.
You want him to get 30 touches a game, that's a lot to ask.
On freaking kick returns? You know. I don't know, maybe it's Chico, maybe it's the 5'7" Sean McGrew.
Yep.
That low to the ground,
sure.
Tough to tackle, sneak between, you can't see where he even is, you know? I mean, I'm thinking back to other, short returners like that who really could be the guy. But
I think the answer is to give different guys the opportunities and see what they do with them.
Yep.
Judge them on the merits and just say, hey,
yep,
you had a couple of good ones last game. We're going to give you some more shots. I don't think we know who the right answer is. Frankly, as long as it's solid, we're not turning the ball over, we're not giving up huge or even long, game-breaking returns, I think this will be an easy area to improve if we just put the good players on the field and coach them well and do it.
Let's just not be bad.
Yeah, not be bad.
Yeah.
Don't be bad.
Let's not be bad.
Put that on a shirt.
I'll take fifth in the Pac-12
not so bad.
Special
exactly.
teams.
Look,
there we go.
I think this is a year for some marked improvement. Peyton Henry's back. He's got the experience. I think Joel Whitford's healthy. I think he's got all the right tools to be there. We can't get any worse than 9th and 6 on punt return and kick return to coverage, and let's figure out who they can get to return the ball. This has got to be a year where, look, we're not returning 10 starters on both sides of the ball. Special teams is going to have to get better this year.
Yep.
Guys, should we take a look at the schedule?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're taking a look at that Husky schedule. Vegas has us at 9.5 wins by, I think it was one vote. Pac-12 media picked Oregon to win the North, right? So it was tight.
They also made the SA cover, BT, so...
Preseason natty.
Yeah,
preseason natty, baby.
Natty.
So 9.5 wins. Let's talk through these, the first couple ones. So, tune up a game against August 31st against Eastern Washington. This is not a Vernon Adams team. This isn't even a Gubrud, however may pronounce his name.
Let's go with Gubrud.
I like Gubrud, actually. Eastern Washington, they should get that win. Should we just move on and let's talk about – I mean, I hate to say it, but move on against Cal and talk about it?
I mean, I guess the one thing is I don't want to see a peep of quarterback controversy in Eastern.
Oh, gosh.
I want
no.
it to be a clear starter, and I want it to look good, obviously, but hopefully we're past all that.
I think that's what makes it really tough is you've got game one, and you want to see your quarterback, lead the team, put him on his back, execute the plays,
mm-hmm.
look like a leader, look like your guy. And then, by the way, we're going up against maybe one of the best defense in the conference in week two, so you better have all your ducks in a row by then. So I think that's going to be tough to judge. I do not think Chris Peterson is going to give the backup quarterback, especially if that backup quarterback is Jake Haener, a single meaningful snap in that Eastern game. I just don't see the point. I don't think that does anything for your team. What are you telling your team when you put Jake Haener in, if Eason is your starter, which I think we all assume is going to be the case, we're a two-quarterback team and he's going to play against Cal? We saw that last year.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that again.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think to your point, that is the number one thing that comes out of that Eastern Washington game is that we have to see that we have a quarterback.
I also hate those games because, look, we're writing a huge check to Eastern Washington who played in the FCS. Oh, yes, play these FCS games. Well, great. They played in the national FCS national title game last year.
They're probably better than 20 or 30 Division I teams.
They're preseason number four.
Yeah.
It's one of those, what are we doing? Why are we playing this game? But whatever. At least it'll be good competition versus like a Sac State or something like that.
Yep.
So Eastern Washington comes to town. September 7th is that revenge game against Cal. Law Dog's a little bit more worried about it than I am. I think everyone's going to be head down on this. It's a little earlier than you'd like, but I like the way our offense is playing, and I think they put up enough points. In my opinion, with this Cal team this year is, like, for the most part, 17 points gets you a win against Cal. Problem is, like, where you get them, and I think we'll put up more than that.
They just have so many questions, Cal does, on the offensive side of the ball.
Didn't move the ball. I mean, we would have shut them out if not for the pick.
Yep.
Or virtually shut them out with, what, a field goal, I think? Or I'm not worried about our defense with 9 new starters stopping Chase Garbers. I'm just not. I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. What I am worried about is, yeah, if we throw a pick and we lose a game 7-6. I mean, that's the type of game we might be looking at. I hope it's not. I hope you're right. I hope just stretching the field will be enough to get those Cal DBs to back off a little bit. So I agree. We have the advantage. We'll be favored in the game. I hope we win. It's just an early test that I don't think this team really needs or shouldn't want.
Yeah, that's right. And look, you know, moving forward, so again, I think it's a question. Most people feel like that's a big revenge game, that we'll get that one. We move forward, third game in a row at home, September 14th against Hawaii. I don't want to spend too much time on that. Hawaii is a tough game to play on the road,
right?
For sure. But I do think, you know, a team that has struggled a little bit, this is the best Hawaii team that we've seen over the last 10 years. I think we get that.
To go with the Eastern game, neither of those teams have 10 linemen that can compete with the level of strength and quality that we have up front.
Yeah,
we are going to dominate the trenches in both of those games, and we're going to win both those games.
Yeah, it'll be clear. It should be clear as the game moves on.
Yeah, so here's the one that I think we all hate, September 21st at BYU, and we saw what we did to BYU last year. And after they beat Wisconsin, and that was, I mean, the most dominant complete performance that I think the Huskies put up all last year.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
But nobody likes going down there to Provo, and we don't know what we're getting with them.
That's a really interesting test because let's say we don't look particularly good at the quarterback position against Cal in week 2. Then you're going into that game maybe a little nervous about your offense because you don't have a lot of data points for a game like this where you're going on the road to the Mountain West. So
That's a scary game to me.
We're 1-3 all time in Provo. Do you remember the freaking the Jake celebration?
Oh, that's the worst.
That was at
ever.
Home. But,
that was at
but,
home.
Oh, that was home. That's right.
But
that was home.
Still, no, yeah. I agree.
That's even worse. Jeez.
No, I think BYU is a game. I think let's put it this way. In the past, with some of our previous coaches, some of our previous teams, it was kind of always a trap type of game. That's not a game that Chris Peterson team has particularly worried me, and I don't think it's going to worry me this year. But you do have to go on the road. And it depends on how we look in week 2,
right.
How I'm going to feel about that.
Totally. Yeah, that's the –
We'll be favored in all 4 of those games, though, and, you know, depending on how they look, of course, but preseason will be favored in all those games. And then September 28th, here's the big one, USC at home. What a start, man. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, USC could be in big trouble. We talked about that on our South show. They just have a brutal schedule opening the season. And, frankly, this is a team that – beat us in Husky Stadium the last time they were there with
2016.
Sam Darnold.
Wow.
So, yeah, I always worry about their athletes. I always worry about USC. But, you know, I will say we have the lines to handle their athletes. It's just a question of are we putting it together at that point and looking like ourselves and like we want to look. And I think if Jacob Eason's stepping back and throwing long balls, and our DBs are locking down USC receivers, then I don't think we have that much to worry about. It's just, you know, we don't know until we see these guys on the field.
Yep. I think hopefully we're battle-tested. We're gelling by that point in time, and, you know, all depends on that start for USC, because if the wheels are already coming off the bus, it could be a dumpster fire.
You have 4 warm-ups for that game, so I totally agree with that.
Yeah, we're going to be in a different place.
I mean, that's where we were against BYU last year.
Yeah. We'll be in a different place, I think. And I have more questions about USC than I do about our own team. They're going to be. At Stanford, boy, that's been a tough one for us. You know, I mean, the Huskies are 4-10 against Stanford since 2014. But you remember, I mean, that killer, that 2017 away game where we lost there 22-30. Man, that one stung. And that kept us out of the Pac-12 championship that year. I don't know. What do you think, guys?
That is a tough place. I mean, the last 10 years, tell me a meaningful game that we've won down there. I can't think of one. They are a really tough out for us, the way they play. They're physical. They, you know, rear back 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And, you know, we have matched up pretty well with them the last few years, and especially at home. But they kind of snuck up on us at the end of the game last year in Husky Stadium. They may have revenge on their minds. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a really tough test. And that's the first true road game for some of these guys, like Jacob Eason, like some of our defenders.
That's right. You know, I think that will be the telltale game for whatever reason for this team, in my mind. I mean, we'll get an early sign with Cal early on, but that's where it gets real. That's where we're going to find the measuring stick of, are these guys going to control the North,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going to be a telltale sign.
Okay, let's keep moving on, guys. So at Zona, we're all going to be there again. At least 60 deep of Dog Pod and friends are traveling down. We'll be at the Arizona game. The only thing I can say about this, I think we can all sum this up, is
Desert Dogs.
We suck in that state. For whatever reason, the team forgets to play tackle football when they cross the state lines and we land in. You know, I think we'll know a lot more about what the Arizona team looks like. Running quarterbacks like Khalil Tate have caused problems for us. I think a lot of it is like we get this amazing coverage from our secondary, and then we don't have enough edge rush, and a bunch of lanes open up, and someone like a Khalil Tate can rip off a 30, 40-yard run. But we'll see. Let's see what they look like. And it's really like Desert Dogs, will they play?
And, you know, that's another place where that's going to be interesting for the linebacker core and whether those guys are coming around or not, because they're going to have to stay true to their assignments, and they're going to have to be sound with keeping Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor under control. That's going to be another interesting one. And, gosh, that's an interesting stretch right there. At BYU, USC at home, at Stanford, at Arizona, and then Oregon at home, right?
That leads us right into it. Should we talk Oregon at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the game of the season for me. I mean, they're the chosen favorites in the Pac-12 North.
Yep.
And we have them at home. We have every reason to want to kick their ass and get revenge. And this is about control of the North. Yes, Stanford is in that conversation too. Every game we play with Stanford is a bloodbath and is on par with this as well. But this year in particular, you have Oregon, who's really been going neck and neck with us recruiting-wise the last mm-hmm. couple of years. They're starting to get their system in place. And, I mean, this is for all the marbles. This is the Pac-12 North, is this game on October 19th.
Hold serve. That's right, guys. back on our shores. I think that's going to be an amazing game. By October 26th, I think the next one, this one circled again. That is the darling of the South that everybody's picked. Utah at home on November 2nd.
Dude, thank God we have a bye.
A bye before that. I know.
You know, I mean, look at that row. Like, we just talked about that. And, oh, my gosh, what a good time to have that.
Well, and Utah's coming off what? They're coming off that game, I think it was against USC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to.
So
yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think we've been given every advantage in our schedule in that part of the schedule, right, mm-hmm. to beat those teams. Like you, to your point, Mitch, this stretch on the schedule, USC at Stanford, at Arizona, then Oregon, then bye, then Utah. I mean, we could go 2-3. We could go 5-0. You know, there's a lot of different outcomes. And September 28th to November 2nd is when this Husky football season is going to be made or broken. And, you know, I look, Chris Peterson's record at UW at home is 27-7. We, in the last 2 years, I think maybe it's the last 3 years, we've only lost one home game. Is that right?
I think it's
USC. So, yeah, and so where this team has slipped up and lost a little bit of their, mojo, so to speak, is on the road, where we're just 17-9 under Coach Peterson. And here we've got at Stanford and at Arizona during that stretch where, you know, those are going to be tests for us. I think that's the stretch of the season that we're all circling on our calendars and looking at. That's where we've got to really buckle down.
Let's talk about a couple of road games. I don't want to spend too much time on them, but we're at Oregon State, the Friday night game on November 8th.
After that Utah game.
And I'm just being like, look ahead, but look, we've dominated these guys.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, just win. 8-1 against Oregon State. 1-7 in a row, last six by double digits. Let's move on. at Colorado. We're coming off a bye. Colorado's coming off of a bye. It's going to be an interesting one because this could be 70 degrees. It could be 30 and sideways snow. Like, you don't know what you're going to get up over that time.
You're at altitude. You know, Colorado really, they got off to a great start last year and then faded about as fast as could be. And, you know, we're getting at the end of the season when we should, in theory, be hitting our stride. But the one that really has all our attention is then we got to turn it around 6 days later at home for another Apple Cup where we get to beat the crap out of Wazoo one more time.
That's right. I mean, Wazoo's coming off of two home games, Stanford and Oregon State, and then coming into that. So we'll at least have a bye on the 16th. But then we play that Apple Cup. And I'll just say, look, I think if you're – even for someone who doesn't really follow the Pac-12, you just look at this and go, like, until someone gives me a significant reason to pick the Cougs against the Dogs, they've owned this rivalry and they'll continue to do so this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you had your big reason last year with Gardner Minshew, and look how that played out, right? So I'm feeling pretty darn confident about that game.
So
31-13, 45-10, 45-17. 41-14, 28-15.
Domination.
Those are the last five Apple Cups, and that 28-15 was under 3 inches of snow.
Totally.
I'm not worried about Mike Leach until he beats us in Husky Stadium.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree to that. Guys, so look, Vegas has us at 9.5 wins. The media has picked Oregon, though, slightly, and most pick Utah against either one of us against the championship. And you look at this thing, I'm just going to ask for some predictions before we get into this, because the next time you're going to hear from us is going to be after that Eastern game when we're going to be prepping for the Cal game. Last year I said 2 losses. We ended up with 3. Mm-hmm. I didn't like us against Auburn because I thought it was basically a road game, and I thought we were going to lose one of our road games. We ended up losing 2. I think the Cal game no one really could have picked. I'll go first, and I'll let you guys kind of pile in. Is this the year that we lose a home game? We haven't lost one since, you know, as we mentioned, since 2016 with that big game against USC and Sam Darnold. This is the year where you go, look, Cal, USC, Oregon, Utah, Apple Cup. I think my thought with those, I'm most concerned in this order about Oregon, USC, Utah, Cal, no, Wazoo, and then probably Cal. And I think there's a good chance, if I hate to say, if I'm a betting man, that we might lose one of those at home this year. Mm-hmm. Some of that, maybe the questions that we have on defense, and it's just hard to pick off that many good teams at home. Road games as well. Look, I'm in. Here's my order of road games. Which, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this. At Stanford, one of the hardest ones. Arizona, BYU, Colorado, Oregon State. Stanford's going to be. I have to see what they look like. I think it's going to be difficult to say. I think it could just as easy be in Arizona where we just don't show up. I think this is going to be, if we lose a game on the road, this is going to be more of a Husky shooting ourselves in the foot like we did at Cal. Right. I'm taking the over on that 9.5, but I think this is more like a 10 win. I think they have the wrong team favored in the North. I do think we have Utah's number, and I think we'll go forward. But I'm not ready to come out and say this is an 11-12 win team. I think we got. I hate to say this. I think we have a home. You know, I don't know if we're going to run the table at home, and I think we probably one of those road losses might sneak up on us. But I think we still go back to that Pac-12 championship again this year.
I have that 10 win circled as well. I am worried about Utah. I think they are very balanced and very deep, and they have a lot of experience. I'm actually feeling a little bullish for whatever reason about our defense matching up with Herbert and Oregon at home. Really like that. Stanford makes me really nervous. And then to your point, you know, if we do get past Stanford, is it, you know, Desert Dogs or something else?
Right. That trips yeah. us up? Just don't show up.
Yeah.
I think the Stanford game. Is a better matchup for us than it has been, because I think their strength may not be running it as well as they used to, and they're going to lean on Costello to throw it more, and that plays into our strength. Mm-hmm. I do expect our pass rush to be a little bit better this year, so I think those throwing teams, I think we're going to match up better with teams that throw it more. The Utah game is worrisome because you just see how close, like I said, just knock, knock, knocking on our door. And, you know, this is a defense that just – this is not the same defense that shut them down twice last year and held them to 10 points in 2 games. This just isn't that defense anymore. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I have circled on my calendar. I think that Utah game and the Oregon game, I think, are our two most difficult games. I like that they're both at home. I like that one of them's coming off a bye. So I think the schedule lines up for us to exceed that win total. Just the question is, if we lose a key player like an Ahmed, like an Eason, you know, this could get real ugly really fast. And so I think that the Huskies really have to stay healthy. We've been pretty lucky in that regard the last few seasons. Those are the two that I'm looking at. But I think we all can agree that we look at this and go, look at what's coming back next year. 2020 is really a year that we're going to have circled on our calendars, because basically everyone that we can't wait to see in action this year will be back, with the exception of maybe like a Trey Adams and a Nick Harris.
Yeah, so maybe in a Levi or some others go early.
Yeah,
like, you
we
know.
Could have some early, but I think this team will be loaded going into 2020. So I want to make one other point before we break the show, and that is I think this is a huge, huge, huge year for Bush Hamden, because last year I think we saw a lot of cutesy, wootsy play calling and things, and I know that Jake Browning wasn't opening up the entire field the way that John Ross had done for Jonathan Smith a couple of years before that.
Yep.
So I think, you know, I'm not saying that he can't do it. I expect that he will succeed. But we talked about this in one of the previous shows where, you know, hiring top talent and the coaching staff is so critical. And Chris Peterson twice now has dipped into kind of position coaches who were first-time coordinators. And I look at Bush Hamden this year and I think, okay, you haven't shown me a lot that I can feel great about. And 2020, we could be loaded. We could be playing for a national championship in 2020. So I want to see Bush Hamden knock it out of the park this year. And I want, and that's Jacob Eason in the passing game. That's Ahmed. That's everybody. And I think this offense could really be the best one that we've had since 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think we're expecting that. And if that happens, then we're gonna blow through 9 wins, I think.
Yeah, it could be a special season this year, guys. And again, just my quick note out to Husky Nation. Look, you heard it from us. Please let us know what you think of the podcast. One thing I'll say is, remember to have fun out there as a Husky fan.
Yeah,
get super loud on defense, and you know, try to understand that. You know, I think let's keep things positive out here. That's our mantra here at the Dog Pod. Man, if you can't have fun right now during this era, you're in the wrong game.
It's going to be a lot harder for you.
We are in a golden age. And we don't want to do a full recruiting show, but look at what we have picked up. We're going into the bellies of Oklahoma and picking up receivers. And this is a golden era where we're doing things the right way. You've got to feel good about it. Every year, 2 of the last 3 conference championships. We're going to Rose Bowls. You've got to feel good about this. Get out there and have some fun, Dog fans.
Well, we all grew up in the era, the early 90s, when this was, you know, the Washington was the best program in the country, or one of them. And that got ugly. It took some time, but it got ugly all the way down to the depths of losing the Crapple Cup, right? Mm-hmm. And to see us come back all the way to be on top again and to win this division and win this conference 2 out of the last 3 years – is just, I mean, it's so sweet for those of us who have stuck it out. And I totally agree. We got to stay positive and feel positive about it. And, hey, somebody's going to miss a kick, or we're going to have a recruit that goes to Oregon and doesn't come to Washington. You got to be able to slough those things off and just say, hey, we are Washington. We're back. And let's win these games on the field and just celebrate the greatness that we have in Chris Peterson right now, because this is an unmatched era for us.
Yeah, the last point on that, too, is how they're doing it, right? They're getting great kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are, solid dudes. They're not, doing, for the most part, any slimy recruiting tricks or any of that kind of crap. They've got a head coach that you look at and you're just like, man, I wish my kid could play for a guy like that, mm-hmm. right? And so, I totally agree. Like, this is, I think we're going to look back and this is going to be a golden age of Washington football, and let's enjoy the ride.
Let's have some fun, man. Get out to the games. Get there out for kickoff. Get super loud on third down, third out in defense. Cheer for this team. Be a positive fan. Be a positive influence on this base. Go Dogs.
Woof.
Let's do it. Go Dogs.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown. Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.